Wojcicki, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. It is Wednesday night, middle of the week. I actually came to the office today and I wanted to say happy hump day. And then with all of these sexual harassment claims circulating through the air, I thought best of it. This is the type of self-editing that now has to happen. You can't leave anything to chance. The hump has nothing to do with any overt sexual act. It's just the middle of the week, you know. It's when you're going uphill toward the middle, and then over the edge and back onto the downside to Friday, right? I'm telling you, my friends, it's a complicated world out there. This is not your grandfather's universe. A phone number. Did I give the phone number? 800-222-5222. If you'd like to be on the show tonight, sam@samnation.com is my email. I do check that as we saunter through today's topics. Big news day. Obviously, people still talking about what happened in Alabama last night. Also sounds sort of like a dating recap. So there's that, and we will address it. I'll give you my entire postmortem on that race a little bit later. Now, did you hear this about Omarosa? What's her name? Omarosa. That's how you pronounce it. Had to say it out loud. She's the gal that was on The Apprentice, right? She was a contestant. She got fired on The Apprentice, then ended up working inside of the Trump Organization anyway. Well, guess what? Did you hear this? She got canned again. Only this time, there's two different versions of what went down. So press secretary gets up, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and says that it was a resignation effective January 20th, or so some time into the future. Which sounds extremely peaceful and merciful. But apparently some sources are saying that she got canned and that it was John Kelly, the chief of staff, that did it. And that she demanded to see Trump. Did you hear about this? She wanted to see Trump. I want to see the principal. I want to see the POTUS, the president of the United States. And went over to the Oval Office to see him, and the Secret Service like blocked her. Like, you're not coming in here. And they dragged her out of the White House. This is according to one source. Knowing how things get exaggerated, probably something in the middle. But I do think it's part of the cleanup. It's just what happened was, is before Kelly got in charge, everybody went directly to Trump because that's how he ran his real estate business. If somebody had a good idea, and in business, by the way, this isn't the worst thing to do. You want some access from lower, you know, echelon people up to the top, because you want to kind of know occasionally as a principal of a firm what's going on downstairs in the mailroom. And your middle managers, you know, well, they'll tell you, but sometimes they don't. And it's good practice to communicate even through established, you know, hierarchical barriers. But you can't do that in the White House. It's not practical. People are coming into the Oval Office every 10 minutes and distracting Trump and whatnot. So this is one of the things that we knew was happening, and that was part of the John Kelly cleanup. And I think it's probably a good move at the end of the day. But watch for this to get twisted and to be somehow turned into she's black, so it's going to be turned into a race thing. And how, you know, Trump is, I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. Tax cuts, big push today. Big, big, big push by Trump to get these tax cuts done by Christmas. The top rate is dropping. 39 from up from almost 40% down to, 37? All the brackets are dropping. And then now, instead of 20%, down from 35 on the corporate tax rate, it would be up to 21. But this is the Senate Republican leadership, the Senate leadership getting together with the House leadership to figure out, you know, what compromises they can reach. Trump is pushing it huge. He had a press conference, and I had it on in background today at work, but it was, he had a series of families show up and talk about how this would affect them. I think that's really effective, by the way. I think bringing up people and having them talk about, hey, I get to keep more money that I earn. Yeah, this is great. And explaining it, it was good. But the point is he's taking a personal role in this and pushing it from the White House. He's not just leaving it to the House and to the Senate to do their, slow moving magic. He wants to, be involved, and he wants it done by Christmas. So this is going to be our Christmas present from Trump, which means, I guess it would be Trumpmas. Could we rename the holiday? Merry Trumpmas. On the 12th day of Trumpmas, my true love gave to me a tax cut. And if we're in California, without any SALT deductions, state and local tax deductions, that will be our lump of coal. I'm telling you that right now. Okay. But the biggest news, all of this is just, Alabama's history compared to this crazy revelations that have been trickling out, but have really sort of come to a head today. There's some people working inside of the Mueller probe, inside of the FBI, inside of the Department of Justice, who really, really don't like Trump and didn't like Trump. And these biases ran deep and preceded even the election. And my first reaction to all of this is, but of course, how is this news? This isn't news. We knew this. This is patently obvious. And I've been telling you for months now, I can get into the mind of all these, top lawyers. These are all attorneys, right? The FBI, Department of Justice, of course, DOJ has lawyers, but they're, most of these people in top positions at the FBI are lawyers who have either worked at the DOJ or gone straight into the FBI. And these lawyers have all gone to, top schools, Ivy League type schools. They're mostly East Coast people. I'll tell you that right now, because these jobs are back east. And most Californians don't just, go headfirst into a lovely Washington, D.C. winter weather. They're not stoked on that. So these are East Coast people. And it was absolutely zero shock to me that these people would be pro-Hillary, anti-Trump. None. But of course, it's a difference between having a suspicion of, not even a suspicion, but knowing it and intuitively understanding that that bias exists, and then seeing evidence of that bias on paper. And that is exactly what happened. See, what, it's always a woman. This guy inside of the Justice Department, well, he's actually a counterintelligence officer at the FBI, excuse me. And his name is Peter Strzok, and his last name is spelled in a very complicated way with a lot of consonants. So don't be confused by it. Most people are pronouncing it Strzok, but it's spelled like Sturzok or something like that. Anyway, this guy works at the FBI, high-ranking official at the FBI, and he has a girlfriend. In fact, people are dancing around this. I think it's an affair, actually. He's got himself a little hottie on the side. Now, this hottie that he has, I actually don't know if she's a hottie at all. She might be hideous for all I know, but her name is Lisa Page, and she's a fellow FBI attorney. And Lisa and this dude, because they're having a little thing on the side or whatever it is, romance, they have exchanged a ton of text messages. And when I say a ton of text messages, I'm talking, there's at least 10,000 plus text messages that these two goobers have been exchanging. And this, by the way, goes all the way back to the election. Goes all the way back to the primaries, in fact. So these 10,000 messages cover a broad swath of time, and that's very important because it establishes a pattern of practice. You know, there are a lot of ways that this bias is being talked about. Is this is relevant and this isn't, doesn't matter. It's just a handful of text messages. People talk about this stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And the first bit of leaking text messages, I acknowledge, were not necessarily that problematic. Because I get that people are biased. I understand that everybody in the FBI, for the most part, my guess would be, if I had a guess, it's an 80-20 conservative to liberal to conservative split. I'm guessing when it comes to these big government bureaucracies, people lean left huge. So with that said, it's not unusual that two, we'll call them coworkers, we'll be nice, coworkers that like each other would be writing text messages to each other about what is going on politically, right? The election was a big deal. And so when text messages came out, like, what the hell has happened to our country? I'm worried about what Trump is encouraging in our behavior. On August 26, 2016, Strzok told Page he went to a Walmart in Southern Virginia and he could smell the Trump support. See, to these people, just a little aside, to these people, when Hillary Clinton said that we were a basket of deplorables, they agreed with her. I just want you to, I'm pointing this out. It's important. They actually agreed with her. It was not a turnoff at all. Just side note. He smelled the Trump support in a rural Virginia Walmart. I think he smelled something else in there. what else did they say? Oh, during the convention comes on and I guess they're not together, maybe because they're having an affair and they're in different places. Don't know. I can't say. But anyway, Strzok texted Page, turn it on, turn it on, turn it on, meaning the convention, that some speakers were coming on stage at the convention, at the Republican convention. The douchebags are about to come out, is what he said. So he's telling her basically, tune in, D-bags are coming out. You know, these Republicans, that type of thing. And all this came out, and I was reading this, and there was the Alabama election to cover and all this stuff going on. But my initial reaction to all of this was, okay, it's banter among colleagues. Yes, they're biased. Not necessarily in and of itself disqualifying. Well, then it came out. They're sifting through all these messages, right? So there's all these, you know, it's going to come out drip, drip, drip. There's this thing. And so, this is where it gets crazy. This is right here. This is where it gets crazy. There's a text that he sends, Strzok sends to Lisa Page. They're both working in the FBI. They're both working now. What crazy is that Strzok, this is the guy that authored the now famous dismissal of the Hillary Clinton email charges. Do you remember this? He's the guy who changed the language from grossly negligent to extremely careless. We went over this during the campaign. And the important distinction is that extremely careless is a made up legal standard. Grossly negligence would have made her allegedly guilty of a crime. An extremely careless let her off. This is the guy that led Hillary Clinton off. And he writes, listen to this. He writes, quote, I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way to Trump getting elected. But I'm afraid we can't take that risk. And then he adds, it's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. Now, the political world is abuzz about this text message because you know what it sounds like? It's speaking of collusion. It sounds like they're coming up with a plan of what to do in case Trump gets elected. Can't let it stand. We can't let that be. We're going to have to figure out a way to take him out. This was, by the way, in August. August 15th, 2016. Now, what happened around this time? This is when we started hearing whisperings of Russia collusion. It started to come out there. Now, Obama, if you recall, actually got up a few weeks after this, said basically dismissed it, saying there's no credible evidence and da-da-da. But this coincides with the time of all of this coming out. Now, the Andy that is referred to in this text message, people believe, is none other than Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe. And this is the guy that made the decision to ultimately to dismiss charges against Hillary. This is the guy that took $500,000 from a super PAC that is associated with the Clintons through Terry McAuliffe over in Virginia. She was running for some local race. I mean, this thing just, I'm telling you, it is starting to stink. And even the liberal media, I've got some clips I'll play for you, even the liberal media is beginning to notice. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, will be back right after this.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790. KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Listen, I just this news popped up here in real time, 725. There's a Kentucky State Representative, Dan Johnson, is reported that he died of a probable suicide. Now, this guy was accused of sexual molestation and has killed himself. You know, so I don't, you know, obviously don't know if the charges were legit or not. This is the kind of thing you're going to see more of it. I don't know. Maybe at some point you're going to see somebody really just go off the rails, get exonerated completely. We'll find out that the accuser's a lying sack of you know what. And I think I think it's going to be incidents like that that really make us think about this crazy state that we're in. Speaking of crazy, I will talk about the election in Alabama a little bit later, maybe 8 o'clock hour. But I'm going to say this. Roy Moore is the sorest, most pathetic loser ever. I know what it's like to fail, to lose elections, not anyone's for public office, but I do remember what it was like in high school, and it sucks. There's nothing worse than losing. But you got to be a gentleman about it. And apparently, I don't know if you heard this, but apparently, Doug Jones has already heard from Trump. Trump called to congratulate him on a hard-fought race and for the win and everything. But he hasn't heard from Roy Moore, and Roy Moore's digging his heels in. And wanting a recount. Well, you know what? If I was an Alabama voter and I'd voted for him, if I'd voted for Roy Moore, I would want nothing to do with him now. This to me is just sad sack. It's 20,000 votes. It's not, I know it's a percentage and a half or whatever it is, but it's 20,000 votes. So suck it, you know, just you lost, pal. Done and over. Get back on that horse and giddy up. All right, so we're talking about these. This is a principled thing for me. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And it's how you behave when you lose, when you're down and out, that is the greatest show of your character. And this is this is poor character. And obviously, this is not an allegation. This is not something that's untested. It's something that we can see for ourselves. And so judgment we shall pass. Now, the judgment I am passing on this revelation that a Peter Strzok, who was engaged in a relationship with fellow FBI attorney Lisa Page, sending a bunch of anti-Trump text messages, but also one in particular that says, "I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there is no way Trump gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk," adding that we need an insurance policy. Andy's office referring to their boss, Andrew McCabe, who is the deputy FBI director and the one who made the decision to let Hillary Clinton off. Listen, this is around the time, right, that we suspect that the FBI was paying money to Fusion GPS and to Christopher Steele to what? To have that Trump dossier, right? The now infamous Golden Showers document. This total rubbish. But the basis of what it was used. It was used to open the Trump-Russia collusion investigation. It was used to get wiretaps on Trump associates. It was used to open this whole debacle from the get-go. And so what I think you ought to know about this is that there's a great and significant chance this is a setup. And it was set up by people who didn't like Trump. And by the way, every time you listen to one, even the current FBI director, but certainly Jim Comey, get up there and sanctimoniously declare that the FBI, the good men and women of the FBI, are above partisanship, are independent and unimpeachable in their credibility, I want you to know that coming out of his mouth is pure, total, organic BS. Okay? Because this was a political racket from the get-go. These people are political animals. They're swamp creatures. They don't like Trump. He's an existential threat to them. And all this talk about it being high-minded and based on principles, political principles, is nonsense. Existential threat. And there's some liberals that agree, even in the Washington Post. I'll play that for you when we come back. We got John Wolf up next with the news. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. So, can you hold on a second? Hold on a second. I'm getting some crossfeed in my ear. Sorry about that. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Technical difficulties here. Pardon me. 800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is the email. All right. What's cooking? I'll tell you. It's not a great day for the FBI. It is not a great day for Jim Comey. It is not a great day for the narrative that the investigation into Trump collusion with Russia is nonpartisan, is independent, and is free of the stain of any kind of personal bias. Now, I talked to you about Peter Strzok, the FBI attorney and chief investigator, who, with another FBI lawyer, were caught sending some cryptic text messages saying they needed an insurance policy. They need to come up with something. Maybe they and maybe something, you know, some way to derail Trump in the event that he actually gets elected. But there was also another part of the story that's really important, and that is that there's this lady named Nellie Orr. She's got a husband, Bruce Orr, who is not an insignificant person at the DOJ, Department of Justice. He's the associate deputy attorney general. And this is a guy who's close with Rod Rosenstein, right? Who's the, well, he's the guy who ended up appointing Rob Mueller to be the special counsel. So anyway, why is this person important? So Bruce Orr, his wife, Nellie Orr, was working for that Fusion GPS company, the company that came up with the Trump dossier, got paid a ton of money by them. So the connections, the web, it's just nuts. And if you think, by the way, if you think that there's nothing there, I have this suggestion for you. It was known in the FBI and Department of Justice circles about her connection to Fusion GPS. Now, Bruce Orr stayed in his position until the day that Fox News broke the story. And when Fox News broke the story, a day later, he was demoted. That's what it took. It took daylight on this thing. Think about that. So again, why is he getting demoted? Why is he getting demoted for something that his wife did? Let me put it to you this way. If your wife works, you're a guy, your wife works, or you're a gal and your husband works, what he does is kind of his thing, right? Generally speaking. And even if what he's doing or she's doing, your spouse is up to, even if it's shady, at the end of the day, if you're doing everything right and you're disclosing it and all this and it's not a conflict with your job, you can do things to protect yourself, to keep yourself straight. When somebody gets fired and demoted for the activities of their spouse, it tells me the thing stinks to high heaven. It tells me that protocols weren't followed. It tells me that connections were hidden. Or alternatively, it tells me that they were known but should have been dealt with and weren't. So this, we know, all these people, by the way, end up, these are all the colleagues of the people that are staffing the special investigation probe, right? All the people that are on Mueller's team are the ones that these are all former colleagues, right? They all came from the Justice Department. And The Hill, by last count, I think 9 or so Democrats, big time donors on the team, are investigating Trump and supposed to be, independent. But this is the kind of thing that's going on behind the scenes. So my opinion is they're totally tainted. And when we come back, I'm going to play for you. So there's different takes on this, of course. You'll hear, I'll show you what a defense is. And I'll also show you that it's losing support, even with the Washington Post. Okay? Don't go anywhere. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here for my friend, my attorney, Sweet James Bergner. This is the guy to call if you've been in an accident, if you've had a dog bite you, if you've had a crazy holiday shopper run you over somewhere, or I don't know, maybe one of those little lambs runs out of a manger, a little nativity scene, and nibbles on your toes. It can happen. Anything can happen. It's always the unexpected that ends up becoming a big problem in your life. Well, don't let it become a big problem. Have somebody help you get through it, okay? Make that person James. Him and his team, they will fight for you. They'll make sure that they deal with all the hassle so you don't have to. This holiday season, spend time with your family. Don't spend time on the phone talking to the insurance company. That's lame. Don't do that. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Call James, free consultation, no recovery, no fee, easy. James has recovered over $400 million for his clients, and that number continues to go up. 1-800-881-2021 or visit sweetjames.com. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. So listen up. Do you think it matters that Bob Mueller has a bunch of Democrats working on his team? That's the question, right? And opinions differ. Here's what George W. Bush's ethics lawyer... I'll let that sink in for a minute, okay? George W. Bush's ethics lawyer, who now MSNBC is bringing up as a great, arbiter of presidential ethics. I'm not saying that Bush was a crooked. I'm just saying the media, you got to love this. The media spent 8 years attacking Bush as basically the worst liar in the history of the presidency. Remember, Bush lied, people died, and, no weapon, no mass. Hey, you remember. So now they're digging up Bush people to attack Trump. Now listen to this guy, Richard Painter. Saying that Bob Mueller, no, there's nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see here.
There's no way you could attack the credibility of Robert Mueller.
But they are. They are. And the fact of the matter is, Richard, they are. And there are people in this country, lots of people in this country, who want to believe that and are willing to believe that.
Yeah, if they want to believe it, it just makes absolutely no sense. He is a traditional Republican, and there's just no way you could attack the credibility, the honesty, integrity, or professionalism of Robert Mueller. And anybody tries doing that, it's going to be very transparent what their motives are. Of course, people being prosecuted or being investigated don't like the investigators, don't like the prosecutors. The mafia doesn't like prosecutors either.
By the way, I think he needs to talk to Peter Tilden about his probiotic regimen. This guy sounds a little stopped up. Anyway, the best part here is he says, look, no. Mueller's a traditional Republican. He's a traditional Republican. He's above this bias. He's not going to go after Trump. It's preposterous. By the way, not believable one bit. And you know that because you listen to the program. You understand that this is not a Democrat v. Republican issue. This is an establishment versus revolution issue. The establishment, the Democrats and the Republicans alike, are much more aligned, much more allied against Trump. There's very little daylight in between them relative to, let's say, the inner party, disagreements and conflicts. But a funny thing is that even the Washington Post isn't buying this nonsense. And here's Ruth Marcus admitting that the Mueller team is biased to MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell reports.
Mueller hired a number of people to work for him who turn out to be Hillary Clinton donors and Democratic donors. I wonder if Bob Mueller would have been wiser if he had a more eclectic and bipartisan group of prosecutors on his staff, just to insulate himself.
Of course, we don't know who all the people are on his staff and how wide that is.
But what we do know suggests a Democratic tilt.
Yeah, that is it. And the problem is I don't think party affiliation is enough, but do you know how they know that they're Democrats? Because they haven't followed these people in the voting booth. These aren't just Democrats. These are people that have given big boku bucks to Hillary and other Democratic causes. These are Obama donors, Hillary donors. And these people are supposed to, be open, independent? I don't think so. All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. All right. So what about all of this stuff? All these, sleeper agents, right? These are the anti-Trump people that are investigating Trump. And not only that, it turns out, right, that now we see that the very people that are behind the investigation, that are handling right now the investigation of Trump, that the investigation was launched based off of things that they purportedly discovered, and it may actually be all cooked up from the get-go. Reminding you of this text sent by Peter Strzok. I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office. There's no way Trump gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. We need an insurance policy. So this is not how the system is supposed to work. And it's a dangerous precedent. And I'll tell you, if you are a leftist, if you are left of Bernie Sanders, and to you, Trump is the most loathsome human on the planet. What if a politicized FBI and Department of Justice some years later is used against your guy? That's the precedent that is set. You can't allow that. If the names were reversed, if Bernie Sanders hadn't been robbed of his primary potentially his primary win by Hillary Clinton and had won the general election, but it was Republicans, deep state Republicans, that thought we can't let this socialist take this country over. This is insane. He's nuts. She is. I'm sorry to tell you. Then what? What if they suddenly put together a plan of how to discredit him and put him on the map before or without any real evidence or signs of malfeasance? This is not acceptable. And so in that context, I think we need to we need to be concerned. Okay. Yes, I'll talk about tax cuts a little bit, Omarosa maybe a little bit more. I got some other details on that. But let's talk about Georgia here coming up after the 8 o'clock news, because I think everyone is really overcomplicating this thing. Sorry, Alabama. Oh, my goodness. They're overcomplicating this thing. But it does. There are some important takeaways here for both sides. And I think we need to talk about that. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after the news with John Wolf, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KVC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios, located in an undisclosed place, deep behind the orange curtain. 1-800-222-5222 is the number if you'd like to reach us tonight here at the studio. Sam at samnation.com is my email. Of one interest is, did you see this thing on Anderson Cooper? Anderson Cooper claims that his Twitter account was hacked overnight. And it all ties into the Alabama election here. Trump sent out a tweet that said this: "The reason I originally endorsed Luther Strange, who was the candidate..." It's true. Candidate that Trump endorsed in the primary, in the Republican primary for that seat, is that I said Roy Moore will not be able to win the general election. I was right. Roy worked hard, but the deck was stacked against him. Now, Anderson Cooper replied to this. Now, at least purportedly, because, well, no, not purportedly, from his account. He's got a verified Twitter account. It bears noting. "Oh, really? You endorsed him too, pathetic loser." So this tweet goes out and is relatively quickly taken down. And a little bit later, Anderson Cooper comes out and says, "I'm so sorry, my account was hacked. Just woke up to find out someone gained access to my Twitter account. We are looking into how this happened." Just before CNN issued its own statement, CNN says, "Okay, this morning someone gained access to the handle at Anderson Cooper and replied to POTUS. We're working with Twitter to secure the account." Remember when Anthony Weiner said that somebody had hacked his account? No, it wasn't me. It was hacked. And so because he's a congressman, Capitol Police began looking into the matter right away. And then it quickly the narrative fell apart. And pretty soon he was delivering one of many apologies. The reason this matters, by the way, what do I think? Oh, I think that this Anderson Cooper sent it. Of course he sent it. He was seeing spots. Anderson Cooper, I mean, he's having an angry gay man fit. That's what Roy Moore is to the left, right? To the left, Roy Moore, and to me too. Roy, the stuff that Roy Moore said during the campaign, especially about gay rights, is nuts. It's nuts. And so it was an emotionally charged thing. A lot of people have fired a lot of crazy tweets out. He probably sent this out. But remember, for CNN, what is this? Anderson Cooper is supposed to be nonpartisan. He's not an opinion show. He's a nonpartisan sort of an anchor. And I think somebody really panicked over there. including Anderson Cooper. I was like, I got to take this back. And so my account was hacked. Someone gained access to it. The other explanation I have for it is that it wasn't him. And what happens is some of these accounts, it's not always the anchor themselves that send out these tweets. They have staff, and it was a staff member that did it, and probably that staff member is getting fired right now. But either way, the hack thing, that's a lie. Okay, that's total nonsense. So anyway, but people are seeing, everybody has an opinion about this race today. Everybody has their opinion about the result. And I thought I was going to have some deeper thoughts about this overnight. But last night when I said that I thought this came down to Roy Moore being a really bad candidate, it's still true. At the end of the day, this is about Roy Moore being a phenomenally terrible candidate. First of all, I was talking about gay rights. Who in 2017 thinks you should criminalize homosexuality? In Saudi Arabia, right? It's nuts. This guy's crazy. They accused him of being an anti-Semite. His wife gets up and says, oh, don't worry, but nothing to see here. We got a Jew for a lawyer. He's fighting for his life, his political life, right? This, I would presume that if you're in a race to become a senator, a state senator, a U.S. senator representing your home state, that you're going to fight to have that job, right? And you've got allegations coming out against you that are not good. And what do you do? What's your instinct? Disappear? Not fight back? Not give, if this happened to me, you'd hear me at every rooftop yelling and protesting and fighting. This is it. This is part of the problem. Now, the backstory here of how Roy Moore became the candidate is important. And that's, I think, where the postmortem really has to occur. Roy Moore became the candidate not because of Trump and not because of Bannon. You know, Roy Moore was the candidate and became the candidate because the other people in the race, namely Luther Strange, were perceived to be insider, establishment, swamp thing hacks. And the American public in general, and especially Republicans in Alabama, are fed up with Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan promising them every election cycle, oh, we're Republicans, we're going to look out for you, we're going to lower your taxes, we're going to fight illegal immigration, we're going to roll back globalism, we're going to do all these things. And then they get into office and promise is broken. So with this, I've had it up to my gills backdrop. Republicans didn't want Luther Strange. The problem isn't Bannon. The problem is that the Republican Party establishment ran Luther Strange. The problem is that the Republican governor of Alabama picked Luther Strange to fill Sessions' seat, thus anointing Luther Strange, right, to be the nominee designate. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm saying that when you have a special election, when you're filling a seat temporarily, Orange County is a great example of this. We had a sheriff here who became quite famous for doing bad stuff. My understanding, he's now, I know he's in prison, but he has a ponytail now. Did you know this? Mike Corona. And Sandra Hutchins was appointed to fill his position. Well, what happens when Sandra Hutchins runs for sheriff for the first time? She's not running as a candidate. She's running as an incumbent. And incumbents are favored, have the benefit of incumbency working for them. Right? So anyway, The idea was the person that you pick to fill a vacancy, that person is then, you know, being anointed by the party grandees for that state as being the guy or gal that you expect to run in the general election. They could have picked somebody knowing the governor, right? She could have picked someone instead of Luther Strange. She could have picked somebody knowing full well what the mood of the country and especially the party has been. This is the mood is one where we were willing to take a chance on Trump because we want to disrupt this pattern of establishment party politics. So knowing that that's it, why would you put a guy in that's a hack? So anyway, that's where the beginning of the end came. Enter Roy Moore and his horse, which I joked today. Somebody told me that the horse was underage. I don't know. You know, well, he would. I don't know if it was male or female. I could not tell. I'm not a horse expert. but he shows up riding his horse with his little stupid leather vests and pulling out a gun in the middle of a rally. And I'm for the Second Amendment. Look, I'm all about the Second Amendment. You don't freaking brandish your gun. Like, this is not what NRA people do. When you safe handling of weapons, you don't just. Just as a little aside, right? You just don't do stuff like that. I'm also not a religious zealot. So I just, the minute the people start talking too much about God and how important God is over the Constitution, that's where you start to lose me too. So anyway, long story short, Roy Moore comes in and wins because of voter sentiment. And that voter sentiment hadn't changed since Trump was elected. So everybody right now that is trying to make this about, well, look, this is a referendum. Trump is toxic. Trump ruined this. This is a reaction to Donald Trump. No, this is a reaction to the fact that people wanted a change candidate. They put in the Republican Party, put in Roy Moore over Luther Strange, and then and only then really discovered that Roy Moore is a lunatic, is bat nuts crazy. And there's, my argument all along with these allegations, right, is like this guy was in public life and a chief justice in the Supreme Court and nobody knew. This never came out. But I guess, you know, there's really nothing like this race had a lot of intense scrutiny on him. And that's when people really, you know, you really vet somebody. You really find out what they're made of. And far more disturbing than unfounded allegations to me are the fact that he completely went off the rails. So that is really what this is all about. And no one, and I have been watching cable news all day from the corner of mine, little eye. No one is saying this. Everybody wants to make this about some BS referendum on Trump. And did Trump support him or did he not? Or what role does Trump, and what does this mean for 2018? I don't think it means anything for 2018 or 2020. I think what this means is Republicans need to run good candidates. They can't run establishment hacks. They can't run Mitch McConnell prototypes. Or, you know, little ditto copies of Mitch, clones of Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. But they also can't run, you know, crazy lunatics out there who have whose ideas, especially the social stuff. I'm convinced. I'll tell you right now, Trump's win shows. I mean, Trump's very socially. He's a socially liberal guy. Believe it or not, for all the craziness that you think that Trump is this, you know, backwards troglodyte, Trump is a very open, you know, socially liberal guy. So much so, if you'll recall, during the primaries, the Republicans didn't want him. They said he wasn't conservative enough. Do you remember this? Anyway. But that's what won, because I'll tell you the winning formula in America, where most Americans are, with the exception of Manhattan and Washington, D.C., and pockets, really the populated pockets of California and the West Coast, is most people out there are fiscally conservative and socially liberal. That's where we are. And you know why? Because that's common sense. And so where liberals lose us, and I'm speaking for us in this, I really think in this big middle, right? Where liberals lose us is with tax and spend policies. And I'm talking about this gas tax here, the idea of California now taxing us by the mile. Talk about that later in the program tonight. I mean, the tax to us to death and spend money like drunken hoes, that we don't like. We also don't like Republicans like Roy Moore who get up and think that, you know, I mean, it's just crazy stuff, right? There's a middle ground. And Trump exploited it beautifully, FYI, which is why he captured a lot of Democrats. It's a fact. Got to deal with it. So this thing isn't necessarily a referendum on him. I just think it came down to a nutty guy, truly a nutty guy that didn't excite people to go. And I know this, by the way, because he had huge, as I look at the statistics and I see what happened during the race, there was huge problems with base turnout, with Republican turnout in Republican counties. Republicans stayed home. They didn't go and put a write-in candidate. They just were like, meh, I'm not going. And when people go, meh, I'm not going, it's they're looking at it and there's just no motivation. They don't like Doug Jones because he's, you know, he wants to abort everything in sight. But they also look at Roy Moore going, this guy's a freaking nut. I don't want anything to do with this. All right, I'll play you some media responses and refute most of them with logic, common sense, and my usual dash of offensiveness. Okay. I know. How offensive was I this segment, by the way? Pretty bad? 7 out of 10? All right. That's success. It's good. All right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. A post-mortem on the Alabama Senate race. Just another little tidbit here. Roy Moore, the defeated Republican, is demanding a recount. And what that does is it stalls Doug Jones from taking his getting sworn in right as the next senator. The thinking is that it's all on purpose, right? That this is orchestrated effort to get Doug Jones to not vote on the tax bill that's coming up. I'm just going to tell you right now. I don't think there's anything orchestrated about the lunacy of Roy Moore. I think that he is freewheeling. This guy is off-roading big time. And I think that the Republicans all want him to go away the same way Democrats want Hillary Clinton to go away. So don't let anybody tell you otherwise. All right. Chuck Todd today had his own opinions talking on NBC Today with Savannah Guthrie about the causes of this race and what it means to the general kind of political climate here in the country moving forward.
Republicans have to be asking themselves, is this a one-off? Is this a candidate who was flawed? Or is this a sign of what could happen in the 2018 midterms?
First of all, Donald Trump is political toxin, period. Look at the year throughout. You have to go through. This is not a one-off. Let's start. This started in Kansas, in Montana, in Georgia. There were all these special elections. Now, Democrats didn't win them, but they were overperforming by 10 and 15 points. Democratic enthusiasm, Trump problems. And then all of a sudden, Virginia, the big explosion and a win. And now you see in Alabama, if Trump can't get a 50% job approval in Alabama, if he can't carry over his candidate in Alabama, every Republican in the country this morning needs to wake up and fear for their political lives.
This is so stupid. I don't even know where to begin with it. Chuck Todd, this guy makes like millions of dollars a year. should know something. Well, he can't because he's absolutely a devoted leftist and a besotted Trump hater. He is talking about the Senate race in Alabama as part of the FIFER, the big five special election races that happened as a result of Republican lawmakers in districts in their respective districts getting positions inside of the administration. For example, Mike Pompeo, who's at the CIA. Tom Price, who is the Health and Human Services Secretary. Mick Mulvaney. These are all people that left, with the exception of Jeff Sessions, they were all congressmen. They left their posts. They left they resigned as congressmen and then had a special election to fill their seats. With the exception of the Senate race in Alabama, Kansas, Montana, Georgia, South Carolina, they all went to Republicans. They went to Republicans with the media 90% plus negative stories about Trump, with the media ginning up lies about collusion, with a special prosecutor underway. The stuff is beginning to fall apart, as we discussed last hour, with all of this stuff, right? But the Montana guy, you want to talk about crazy, the Montana guy, who was he, Ryan Zinke? He beat up a reporter, apologized for it, moved on. They all still got elected, and you're telling me Trump is toxic? Because it came closer than expected. Do you know how much money Democrats, led by George Soros, spent in these races? I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars. We talked about it here. Georgia 6th, John Ossoff, Pajama Boy. He was give me a break. This is so stupid. And you know why? Part of this is that because these people are leftists, they have to say this stuff. They're programmed. They're hardwired. But the other part about it is these poor souls, they got to talk all day and explain what happened. It's really as simple as Roy Moore is a crap candidate. He's a nut. And as Matt Drudge said last night, prophetically, there's a limit to crazy that the Republicans will take. Now, I know this is not something that Chuck Todd would never believe, but yes, even Republicans have their limits. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. John Wolf, up next with the news.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. The whoopsie daisy tweet sent out purportedly. Well, no, sent out from Anderson Cooper's Twitter account, calling Trump a loser. We were talking about it earlier. Anyway, there's an update. Apparently, now the story has changed that it was his assistant phone was left unlocked and unattended at the gym. Hey, I have a question. Anyone out there know someone who doesn't have their phone locked? Like, I'll tell you right now, I literally do not know anyone. You're always socially when you're out, you know, in meetings, dinner, drinks, whatever you are, you'll see people open up their phones. Who doesn't have their phone locked? Especially when they're an assistant to a prominent figure. This thing stinks. Trust me, it stinks to high heaven. All right. But not a hack anymore. Not a hack. Not blaming it on the Russians. Hey, speaking of media people, very interesting story here about Matt Lauer. NBC's ratings for the Today Show have spiked since his departure. Significantly, by the way. And Fox News was reporting on this today, and we're actually wondering if pervy Matt Lauer was keeping viewers away from the show. And the answer is no. It wasn't that he was pervy. There's two things that are happening. One, I don't know. I don't think as a viewer I thought that Matt Lauer was pervy. I just thought that he was a jerk. He was snide. I don't think there was anything particularly likable about him. What do you think? I think he was swarmy. Yeah, he just had this condescending attitude. So I think this will sometimes happen in all types of positions and jobs. An employer, here it was NBC, they think that this guy's really valuable. And how do I know that? Well, they're paying him over $20 million a year to sit and talk in front of a TV camera. So I'm thinking they think he's valuable. So they, and rolling out the red carpet for him all 9 yards. So they think he's valuable. And then when you lose that valuable employee, for whatever reason, they leave, take another job, or you have to fire him, whatever the story is. Sometimes it's actually surprising. You find out, hey, I'm actually better off without this person. Well, you think it's true for relationships too, Robbie? Perhaps. All right. I want to talk about this gas tax proposal today. And this has been on and off news, but apparently we are closer than ever to being taxed as Californians based on the number of miles that we drive. Now, what do you think? Is this a good idea? Does this sound good to you? You know why they're doing this, by the way? Do you know why they're doing this? They're doing it because all of these electric and hybrid cars are not using enough gas. And the gas tax, which they, by the way, just raised, 20 minutes ago, the gas tax isn't, they're not collecting as much gas tax revenue because people are not buying as much gas. This, by the way, is actually a case study on stupid liberals, right? So on one hand, they want to tax you to death on gasoline. On the other hand, they want to use tax revenue, essentially, to give tax credits to people who buy fuel-efficient cars. And then are left scratching their heads going, huh, funny thing. We're kind of upside down here. Turns out we're giving away money for people to buy electric cars. But we're collecting, revenue off of gasoline. This is a problem. See what I mean? Totally nuts stff. But I want to tell you, what are the implications of being taxed by the mile? I think there's actually some criminal implications to this. I'll explain when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my attorney, Sweet James Bergner. Look, the holidays are crazy. In fact, they're nuts. And they're nuts because people are going crazy and they're doing their holiday shopping late, like me. And they're just stressed on their phones. So what are they doing? They're going to cause trouble out there and mayhem out on the roads. Don't let it happen to you. But if it does, make sure you've got the right lawyer to help you out with it. OK, don't go at it alone. Don't talk to the insurance company. Don't try to handle it. Just call James and have him and his team help you. OK, they're a fight for you. They'll take care of you. They'll make sure that you get treated right. He's easy to talk to. And he's a nice guy. That's the most important thing, right? You got to get somebody who is nice to you and isn't a pain in the butt to the insurance company and gets you the results that you want. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Or you can check him out on his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, speaking of cars and driving and doing crazy things, do you drive a long distance in your car every day? The answer is yes. This new tax scheme, gas tax, actually be a mileage tax scheme, by the state of California to raise revenues, supposedly to build roads. But, you know, it's going to be, the money's going to be spent on completely other stuff. You know, that's how it works. There's going to be some unintended consequences here to this. I'm going to ask you, how are they going to track this mileage tax? Well, it's easy, right? I mean, you there has to be a way to track your miles. If they're going to charge you based on the miles that you drive, they're going to have to track it. I think one of the proposals is that there's going to be a little GPS device that they put into your car. Oh, listen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I am an attorney and I do understand privacy rights, and I understand how I really understand how district attorneys, state investigators, state agents misuse any and all information they can get their grubby little fingers on. And what will happen, mark my word, is if this thing goes and is put into law and they force you to basically self-report where you are at all times, or at least where your car is at all times, this is going to have a huge consequence. Because, well, let's just say that you get accused. Well, let's make it contemporary, right? You're accused of doing something to a woman as a man. Or as a man to a woman. You're accused of something that you didn't do at all. One of the things that will get subpoenaed right away will be from the state your records. And you know what? More than just your records with your phone that is in private hands, this stuff is going to be readily accessible by district attorneys, by the cops, by state investigators, because it's all going to be in the state system. They might even be able to get the stuff without a warrant. I mean, they're going to tell you that they can't, but it's going to be there. And guess what they're going to find? They're going to find that, yeah, you weren't where she claims you were. But they are going to find out that you were happened to be around the corner from a robbery that took place 2 weeks ago. And maybe you were close by to a different robbery. And all of a sudden, they're going to start investigating you for something that was not even germane or relevant to the original complaint. I know. You're saying if you're a good person, you're an honest person, you're not going on robbing liquor stores, you have nothing to hide. The whole nothing to hide argument. Mark my words. Trust me on this. The less information the government possesses about you and your whereabouts, the better. The first thing a totalitarian state, and believe me, California is a totalitarian state. The first thing that a totalitarian state wants is to know where you are, to be able to track you. It's ultimate power. What about speeding? Do you speed? They'll be able to track. They just send you a ticket right in the mail. Wow, you went 75 and a 65. Boom, ticket. This is such a bad idea all the way around. Horrid. I'm totally against it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, Omarosa, the contestant from Trump's TV show, The Apprentice, who worked in the White House as some sort of a communications person, an ill-defined role, and part of Trump's sort of inner circle from the Trump organization came in, was a let go today, or alternatively, had put in her resignation. The Secret Service is denying reports that it forcibly removed Omarosa from outside of the president's office when she tried to see him and plead to get her job back. Whew. Interesting stuff. I think the most important thing here is regardless of what exactly occurred, she is gone. And it represents the discipline shift that has happened over the last, let's say, couple months under John Kelly. You know, when Kelly came in as chief of staff, and one of the things that he demanded, or is reported that he demanded, is control over the president's schedule, over the Oval Office, and by the way, there were a lot of gripes, right, from the Breitbart camp, from the Bannon camp, that he was going to be, you know, cloistering the president and keeping away the Make America Great Again people that would help Trump keep his agenda on course. Well, Trump's agenda is on course. More importantly, no leaks. I mean, you get these little news reports here, one source and that type of thing, but it's nothing like it was. Think back just 6 months. I mean, you had major embarrassing story after another coming out of the White House, and now it's disciplined. And so whatever happened here with Omarosa, it's a non-story. But the back behind it, what seems to be the case is that Kelly said, you know, it's time for you to go. We're moving on here, and Trump is listening to him, and this is a good thing. So it's not a good thing if you don't want Trump to succeed, and if you're part of the resist movement, right? If you're resisting, this is not good. You don't want Trump to succeed, and that's okay. I get it. Now, as far as these tax cuts are concerned, they're coming. I think it's coming. So what will happen is probably next week sometime. Trump says he wants it by Christmas. So next week, it'll go up for a full vote in both the House and the Senate. And we'll see what happens there. It's with each chamber having gone through a process now of jointly melding the two bills together. The idea is that now you've got the votes, right? The for example, the House whip will know who's for it and who's against it. And part of the negotiating with the Senate side is this something that our people and your people are willing to support? So I think at this phase, it's fairly certain that it's going to pass. And that is good news for the economy. And I know it's good news for the economy, by the way, because the Federal Reserve today, I don't know if you noticed this, I don't spend a lot of time on you know, nuts and bolts financial stuff on this program, but the Fed raised a key rate 0.25%. Now, the Federal Reserve raises rates like this, and 0.25% is significant. They raise it when they anticipate that the economy is heating up. Now, the economy is heating up. But when they're raising it 0.25%, what it means, shorthand at least, is that it's not just a bubble. It's not just speculative. There is an anticipated substantive improvement to the economy. And that means we can make money a little more expensive to help cool the economy. We're actually talking now about slowly beginning to cool the economy. Those words were not in our vocabulary under Obama. I just want to point that out. Okay. It's been fun as usual. I'll be back here tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Talk to you then.
Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.